President Ferdinand Marcos holds his first cabinet meeting with the focus on the country's economy. That says Philippine inflation accelerated to a near four-year high of 6.1% in June. State auditors discover 577 million pesos of unspent pandemic funds. And Feebox warns of a possible eruption of Canlaon volcano. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. Topping the news at this hour, President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. holds his very first cabinet meeting where he was briefed on the country's economic situation. Pia Gutierrez now joins us with details. Pia, what more can you tell us?
Yes, Carmina, newly installed Marcos cabinet officials held their first meeting in Malacañang Tuesday morning, a few days after President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. was sworn into office. We have yet to get updates from Malacañang on how the meeting is going on, but the public was allowed to view via live stream the first few minutes of the meeting, which started very early, or a few minutes before 9 in the morning. Vice President Sara Duterte led the cabinet into prayer, where she asked for divine guidance to help new leaders make decisions that will be for the benefit of the country. During the meeting, President Marcos Jr. immediately called on his economic managers, particularly Finance Secretary Benjamin Jokno, NEDA Chief Arsenio Balisacan, and Banco Central ng Pilipinas Governor Felipe Medalla to brief the cabinet on the country's general economic situation, saying that the most important area that his administration will be dealing with will have to be the economy. Let's listen to what President Marcos Jr. said a while ago.
The central policy, actually, that everybody else will eventually be following will be that set out by our economic managers.
Carmina, even as the economy is showing signs of recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic, President Marcos Jr. will start his administration faced with a looming food crisis and rising fuel prices. And just now, inflation further quickened in June to 6.1% as food prices and transport costs continue to rise. The president, in his meeting yesterday at the Department of Agriculture, earlier said that ensuring access to sufficient and affordable food in the next few months in the country would be given preferential treatment under his administration. Right now, Carmina, we're still trying to get more information from Malacañang and other officials regarding the meeting, and we will be giving updates as soon as they come. That also goes for information on other schedules that the president may have for today. Carmina.
Yes, Pia, tell us more about how the information is being disseminated from the palace. How's that shaping up? I know we're just in our early days, but already you see President Marcos beginning his day early. That started on day one of his presidency. We also know that, as you reported yesterday, Press Secretary Trixie Cruz Angeles also presided over a very first press briefing. But how is the dissemination of information shaping up? To recall yesterday, Pia, and I'm sure you noticed this as well, during the press briefing, Secretary Cruz Angeles would always say, we have yet to wait for the announcement coming from the palace. I know you've covered many presidents in the past, but how is this one different from the others that you've covered in terms of information dissemination? Pia.
Right now, Carmina, we're still in a transition, and that's right. We're still having a hard time, actually, because yesterday was the first time that we were able to meet Press Secretary Trixie Cruz Angeles, and right now we're still in the process of actually building a relationship with the new members of the Presidential Communications Operations Office. Right now, all of the information that we are getting are given to us via Viber. Sometimes we are able to text officials where they give us confirmation. But like for this morning, we were only informed that the cabinet meeting will be conducted a few minutes before the cabinet meeting started. We also got this information right now, like what I said, we're still trying to get information from palace officials on how this meeting is already shaping up. But we, most of the time, we're getting information from social media. This one, this video that we got, we got this from the live stream of RTVM. So right now, there's still no actually clear-cut policy on how information will be disseminated to us. But it's a good thing that, of course, these officials are actually very responsive to our questions. But we got the sense that they're still adjusting, which is very understandable as they are in the first few days of their assignment, Carmina.
All right. Before this incoming administration assumed office, of course, there was talk about vloggers being part of the daily press briefing. Any development on that front when the press secretary had her first press briefing yesterday? Were there vloggers there, Pia?
No developments on that front, Carmina. Yesterday, when we had a briefing, only accredited members of the Malacañang Press Corps were allowed. Actually, what happened yesterday is that they were very strict with the number of people allowed inside the press briefing room, and only those who are accredited and cleared by the Presidential Security Group were allowed to even enter the new executive building. What we know is that there's still no guidelines released by the PCOO regarding allowing members of social media users or bloggers to cover events of Malacañang. But of course, that's a different area when we talk about President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. We know that there are bloggers that are very close to him or are working with him. Yesterday, some of the information that we got from the activities inside the palace, like, for example, the social events, like the inaugural dinner, for example, we were able to get from social media. So that's a different matter. But as far as official coverages are concerned, only accredited members of the Malacañang Press Corps are allowed as of this time.
All right. Thanks a lot. Our very own Pia Gutierrez there joining us on the line. Appreciate it, Pia. Take care. Keep safe. And back here in the newsroom, President Marcos's briefing on the country's economic situation comes as inflation continues to run hot. The consumer price index accelerated to 6.1% in June from 5.4% in May, the highest reading since October of 2018. That's amid the unabated rise in food and transport costs. In Metro Manila alone, the inflation rate rose to 5.6% from 4.7% the previous month. The latest headline inflation print remains within the Philippine Central Bank's estimate of 5.7% to 6.5%, but it's still much higher than government's full-year target range of 2 to 4%. The Philippine Central Bank has raised its benchmark interest rate twice this year to 2.5% in a bid to tame inflation. The Philippine Supreme Court affirms a 2013 order of the Energy Regulatory Commission approving a request by power distributor Meralco to impose a staggered power rate hike totaling 22.6 billion pesos. The High Court voted 6-5, junking the separate petitions of Bayan Muna and the National Association of Electricity Consumers for reforms. The groups had challenged the ERC's alleged grave abuse of discretion in unilaterally approving the increase. But the High Court said the ERC acted within the confines of its authority. The request for the power rate hike stemmed from the shutdown of the Malampaya operations and the scheduled maintenance of other power plants, but it was never implemented after the Supreme Court issued several temporary restraining orders. For Bayan Muna, the order could not have come at a worse time, with the prices of basic commodities still skyrocketing due to high fuel prices. Meralco, meanwhile, describes the High Court's decision as a win for consumers. It says collecting the approved price increase on a staggered basis eases the pressure on customers at a time of skyrocketing fuel prices. Meralco says it will seek clarification from the Energy Regulatory Commission on how to implement the other ruling on regulated prices. It hopes any resulting to upward adjustment, rather, in generation make that in generation costs would be implemented at a later time to allow the ERC to finish its investigation into allegations of market power abuse. San Miguel Corporation President and CEO Ramon Ang says he respects President Marcos's decision to veto the Bulacan Ecozone Bill, but he hopes issues regarding the measure can still be worked out. That's as he claims the project will potentially earn $200 billion U.S. dollars a year from investments in various industries. Ang adds the 740 billion peso airport and the creation of an ecozone will help solve a lot of transport and economic issues. San Miguel is funding the new Manila International Airport and what it dubbed a green-designed and future-ready Aero City. Some 1.7 million people are under lockdown in China's central Anhui province after a new COVID outbreak. The province logged over 800 new COVID cases Monday. Residents of the two counties there will only be allowed to leave their homes if they will get COVID tests. The outbreak comes as China begins to rebound from a months-long lockdown in Shanghai and COVID restrictions in Beijing. The Philippines now on its fifth day of reporting over 1,000 new COVID-19 cases. Officials logged 1,188 more infections Monday. 557 of the cases came from the capital region. Active cases also surpassed the 10,000 mark. Nearly 7,400 cases were added in the country's tally in the past week. Daily average cases from June 27th to July 3rd rose to 1,057, or 60% higher from the week before that. An infectious diseases expert, meanwhile, says there's no need to panic despite the rise in COVID infections. Dr. Edsel Salvaña points out COVID-related deaths and hospitalizations remain low, but he says efforts to increase the COVID vaccine coverage in the country should continue. He says one way to do it is by commercializing COVID jabs.
Very important nga na mag-apply na sana itong mga drug companies para dun sa tinatawag na Certificate of Product Registration para itong mga bakuna na to ay magamit na kahit dito sa mga pribadong doktor at people can come to their doctors whom they trust na para dun na rin sila mabakunahan. At mas convenient rin. At kung magkakaroon rin ng mga updated vaccines katulad nun sa trangkaso, mas madali na rin na ilabas ito. Hindi lang tayo nagde-depend sa gobyerno, hindi lang tayo nagde-depend sa mga NGOs, kundi meron na ring share sa burden yung private sector at mas mamomotivate rin yung mga tao na magpabakuna.
As COVID-19 cases continue to rise, a health reform advocate hopes President Marcos will be able to name his health secretary before his State of the Nation address on July 25th. Dr. Tony Lechon fears morale among the medical community may go down as the process for selecting the health chief or the next health chief drags on.
I'd like to have the pattern that we have in the United States. When you have a Dr. Anthony Fauci, a very close-in advisor of the president, that would actually give sound advice on science and, of course, on based on research without any political pressure. The president will be given a summary of the issues without being affected by political or business pressure. A public-private partnership program, rather than pure IATF coming from the government sector, perhaps the group of health advocates who have contributed or perhaps, contributed to, of course, to solving the pandemic, going into the endemic, should be invited. Just like in the United States, I think President Joe Biden invited 14 public health advocates to work with the government to come up with solutions right there and then so that decision is process is actually agile and you can actually make decision right away.
An educational institution in the Philippines will halt its operations after over two decades due to the impact of the pandemic. Our very own Ara Perez now joins us with more on that story. Ara, over to you.
Hermina, Kalayaan College said its declining student population has caused financial losses and was exacerbated by challenges amid the pandemic, leading to its announcement on its end of operations. In a statement posted on Kalayaan College's Facebook page, School President Maria Olivia Domingo said the decision will be finalized after ratification by the majority of stockholders. The school has also advised CHED on the decision and assured it will abide by the requirements. Domingo explained that during the transition period, Kalayaan College will offer a limited number of general education and major courses that will enable senior-level students with a few remaining courses to complete their respective degree programs, and that all classes will be online and will be offered starting August 2022. The transfer credentials of students will also be processed and allow cross-registration to other schools if the courses will not be offered by the college. Domingo extended the school board's apology for the short notice, along with its gratitude to all students and parents who put their trust in Kalayaan College and the faculty and staff for their dedicated service. Carmina.
Thanks a lot, Ara Perez. And back here in the newsroom, state auditors flagged the Philippine Interior and Local Government Department over some 577 million pesos in unspent COVID funds. The Commission on Audit's 2021 report said the agency utilized only 3.46 billion pesos out of its more than 4 billion peso fund for pandemic expenditures. The unspent money was from the 2021 national budget and the Bayanihan to Recover as One Act. Of the 577 million pesos in unspent COVID funds, some 343 million were supposed to be salaries of contact tracers. In his first press briefing Monday, Interior Secretary Benhur Abalos said he has been informed about the report and they will look into the matter. The Commission on Audit tells the Light Rail Transit Authority to blacklist contractors that have failed to complete projects within their target dates. In their 2021 annual audit report on the LRTA, the Commission noted that 13 out of 22 Line 2 rehabilitation projects were not finished on time. The projects cost 984 million pesos, and the delays range from 77 to over 1,000 days. State auditors now recommend the LRTA blacklist contractors in delayed projects or initiate an immediate takeover process on several projects if necessary. Senator Aimee Marcos defends the 93rd birthday celebration of her mother, the former First Lady, in Malacañang over the weekend. This after the event got flack online for supposedly being reminiscent of the late dictator Ferdinand Marcos Sr.'s regime, which was marked by excess and abuse. While there were no official photos of the event, several social media posts showed a glimpse of the Marcos matriarch's birthday bash. But Senator Marcos says it was not an extravagant affair. She also denied that people's money was used for the event.
Sabi niya, I am the happiest person in the world. Ako lang yung naging nanay at tapos yung naging nanay ng isang presidente na dating asawa ng isang presidente at buhay pa ako. Kaya nakakatuwa siya. Bawal ba yun? Di ko alam. Kasi nagba-birthday party rin ako nung bata ako dun eh. Bawal ba yun?
A public historian debunks actress Ella Cruz's viral remark likening history to gossip. De La Salle University history professor Xiao Chua says Cruz's remark seemingly overlooked the important process of verification that goes with analyzing historical accounts. Chua notes the verification process is similar to what journalists do.
Pagka na-verify na yung chismis, hindi na siya chismis. Ganun po yun. So, yung ginagawang metodo, yun po yung verification. Kasi ang historian, hindi pwedeng nakukwento lang. Dahil yung kwento lang na yun, wala siyang saysay. Pero binibigyan niya ng kahulugan yun, pero batay pa rin sa, una, doon sa ebidensya mismo na natagpuan niya. Pangalawa, magkukumpara siya ng ibang ebidensya.
Ella Cruz is playing Irene Marcos in an upcoming movie that retells the Marcos' family's last 72 hours before fleeing to Hawaii amid the EDSA People Power Revolution. The Alliance of Concerned Teachers party list group now urging the next House leadership to prioritize a bill mandating the inclusion of Philippine history as a separate subject in the high school curriculum.
after ng grade 6, mamimension na lang ulit yan or mapapag-aralan na lang yan sa college. Kaya tingin natin, tingin namin, hindi ito sapat. Kaya kailangan nating maglagay ng enough, days o ang ano nga natin, isang school year para ma-discuss yung buo yung ating Philippine history. Philippine history is very important because it draws up our lessons, di ba? Yung mga lessons natin sa history, nakikita natin sa pag-aaral ng Philippine history so that, di ba, yung mga hindi maganda na nangyari sa history natin ay hindi na mangyari muli or mapagkuhan natin ng lessons.
We're going to take a break now. Up ahead, the latest on the deadly July 4th shooting in Illinois. Dateline Philippines will be right back. Stay with the news channel. And we're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. holds his first cabinet meeting with a focus on the country's economy. That's as Philippine inflation accelerated to a near four-year high of 6.1% in June. State auditors discover 577 million pesos of unspent pandemic funds. And FIVOX warns of a possible eruption of Canlaon volcano. Back with more news, Senator Jinggoy Estrada files 10 labor-related bills ahead of the formal opening of the 19th Congress. His proposals are mostly aimed at protecting workers and includes a proposal for a four-day work week scheme for those in the private sector. Estrada also open to legislating a minimum wage increase.
If I find out, as chairman of the Labor Committee, if we find out that Regional Wage Board, kung mag-act sila na kulang pa yung sweldo na binibigay nila sa mga gawa, I might be forced to legislate the wage hike. Mm-hmm. I did that before when I was still in the Senate. If you remember, pinasa namin yung 125 pesos across right. The board.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Na veto lang nung former president GMA.
Aside from heading the Committee on Labor, Senator Estrada will also chair the National Defense Committee for the first time.
During the inauguration of President Marcos, I bumped into Professor Clarita Carlos.
Right.
And then I asked for help, if she can brief me with regard to the national defense. And she responded right away, of course, that is my forte and I will help you.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I also called former Senate President Juan Ponce Enrile, who, as we all know, is really well experienced in national defense.
Mm-hmm.
At sabi naman niya, of course, tutulungan kita.
Mm-hmm.
So, marami na ho tayong mga potential advisors.
Poll officials are looking to open satellite voter registration centers in malls for the village and youth council elections in December. Our very own Willard Chang reports.
Voters' registration has resumed as part of preparations for the December 5, 2022 village and youth council elections. This group of friends and first-time voters made sure to fall in line early.
Para po, makaboto na po kami as SK at kung sa susunod po na bagong presidente. Kaya din po ngayon po kasi po may work din po kami.
Senior citizens having their biometrics taken or having names corrected were also among those in line.
Mahaba talaga, tiyagaan lang.
Alas 6, nandito na ako eh. Kasi nga senior mainit, ayaw ko kasi mainit, abutin ako ng init. Kaya sabi ko, agahan ko. Ay, naku, siksika na po.
There is a priority lane for seniors, pregnant and persons with disabilities. Still, the COMELEC asked for understanding if applicants have to wait in line. Only a limited number of people are allowed inside the COMELEC offices as physical distancing still has to be observed.
Pag pinakit namin sila ng sabay-sabay, magiging masikip naman yung opisina natin. Kasi kahit po marami sila, kailangan pa rin nating magpatupad ng minimum social distancing para po at least may pigilan pa rin natin yung COVID.
The registration period will last for 3 weeks, from July 4th to 23rd, from Monday to Saturday, including holidays, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. The COMELEC is also talking with mall operators to open satellite registration centers.
Mas maganda po na dun po sa mga kababayan nating mga taga-Maynila, wag na po nilang hintayin yung tinatawag na last day or yung last week na registration.
To save time, applicants may download, print, and fill up application forms from the COMELEC website. Applicants are reminded to bring proofs of identity or valid ID, their own pen and alcohol, wear face masks, and follow health protocols. Aside from voters' registration, applications for transfer, change, or correction of registration records are among the transactions accepted during the period. Willard Cheng, ABS-CBN News.
World News now. A deadly shooting mars 4th of July celebrations in the U.S. 6 people are confirmed dead after a gunman opened fire during an Independence Day parade in Illinois. Around 24 people were also brought to a hospital following that incident. Authorities have taken into custody a person of interest. He was identified as 22-year-old Robert Bobby Cremo III. The tragic incident comes just weeks after President Joe Biden signed into law the first significant bill on gun safety in decades.
Things will get better still, but not without more hard work together. You all heard what happened. You all heard what happened today. But each day, we're reminded there's nothing guaranteed about our democracy. I know many Americans look around today and see a divided country and are deeply worried about that fact. I understand, but I believe we're more united than we are divided. Even more, I believe it's a choice we make, and I believe it's within our power to choose unity and unity of purpose.
Russian President Vladimir Putin orders his troops to press ahead with Moscow's offensive in Ukraine. That's after Russian forces gained full control of the entire Luhansk region. It's seen as a major victory for the Kremlin, more than 4 months after President Putin sent troops to Ukraine. It's also a big boost to Moscow's campaign of seizing the entire Donbas region in eastern Ukraine after failing in its initial aim of capturing the capital, Kyiv. Rebuilding war-torn Ukraine will cost an estimated $750 billion. That's according to the Ukrainian prime minister, who spoke at the Ukraine Recovery Conference in Switzerland Monday. He said seized Russian assets should be used to pay for rebuilding his country. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky also saying the reconstruction of the war-torn country is not the task of a single nation, but a common task of the whole democratic world. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen echoed that statement, calling it everyone's moral obligation.
The task ahead of us is colossal, as President Zelensky said. All of you here in the room and many more elsewhere on the screens want to support and help rebuild Ukraine. And this is not only in our interest, it's also in our interest. But it is also our moral duty, our moral obligation.
Here in Asia, China shrugs off Japan's protest over its naval vessels sailing near disputed islands. Japan on Monday launched a diplomatic protest after it spotted a Chinese Navy frigate on one of the Tokyo-controlled islets in the East China Sea. Reports also emerged that a Russian naval ship appeared in the area. But Beijing insists the islets are China's inherent territory, and any activity by its vessels are legitimate and legal. It adds, Japan has no right to make irresponsible remarks. Saudi Arabia welcomes an estimated 1 million worshippers in its biggest Hajj pilgrimage since the COVID-19 pandemic began. The annual pilgrimage, one of the five pillars of Islam, will start Wednesday. this year, only those vaccinated and younger than 65 are allowed to go. They also have to follow strict health protocols. The Hajj pilgrimage saw only 60,000 fully vaccinated citizens participate last year, while only a few thousand joined in 2020 when the pandemic hit. These are drastically lower than the 2.5 million pilgrims that went to Mecca in 2019. Still ahead, the Philippine national women's football team scores a huge upset in the 2022 AFF Women's Championship. The latest in sports when Dateline Philippines returns. Stay with us here on ANC. With more news, state volcanologists warn of a possible eruption of the Canlaon volcano on Negros Island following days of increased activity. Romeo Sobaldo now joins us with more details. Romeo, go ahead.
Carmina, there's a possibility for a phreatic eruption in Canlaon volcano. Maria Andalin Quintia, resident volcanologist of the Philippine Institute of Volcanology and Seismology, or FIVOLCS, based in La Carlota City, Negros Occidental, said there is a possibility for a phreatic eruption for Canlaon volcano. 17 volcanic wakes inside a volcano were recorded by FIVOLCS for the past 24 hours, and some of which were located near the crater. According to Quintia, this is an indication that the volcano is stressed. The absence of steam from the volcano is also an indicating factor. Plus the frequent rains, these are the recipe for a phreatic eruption or steam eruption. However, Quintia stressed that there is nothing to worry as long as the 4-kilometer permanent danger zone is being observed. No one is allowed to enter within the 4-kilometer radius from the crater. No aircraft is also allowed to fly near the crater. Canlaon volcano is still under alert level 1. Carmina.
Thanks a lot, Romeo. Take care and keep safe. Back here in the newsroom, a low-pressure area has been spotted off Sorsogon. Let's get an update now on the weather with Pag-asa's Anna Clorin Horda. Anna, over to you.
Yes, good afternoon, Ma'am Carmina. We have a low-pressure area located at around 385 kilometers east of Borangan City, Eastern Visayas. It is embedded along the intertropical convergence zone, which is now affecting the Southern Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao. So for today's weather, we are expecting a cloudy skies with scattered rain showers and thunderstorms over the Visayas, Caraga, Bicol region, Palawan, Quezon, Aurora, Isabela, and Cagayan. Here in Metro Manila and the rest of the country, we're expecting a generally fair weather condition aside from isolated rain showers mostly in the afternoon or in the evening. Based on our latest scenario here in the LPA, we're not expected that this LPA will develop into a tropical depression and may dissipate within the next 24 to 48 hours. And that's the latest from Pag-asa. This is Anna Clorin Horda. Good afternoon.
Thanks a lot, Anna. Take care. Keep safe to you and the rest of the team there. We really appreciate the work that you do. Back in the newsroom, we have this just in. 7 soldiers were wounded in a blast in Mapanas. That's in northern Samar. Our very own Bianca Davanao joins us with details. Bianca, what more can you tell us?
Hi, Carmina. 7 soldiers were wounded in a roadside blast in Barangay Magsaysay, Mapanas in northern Samar on Tuesday morning. 2 of the soldiers are in critical condition, according to the Philippine Army's 8th Infantry Division. 8th ID Commander Major General Edgardo De Leon said the soldiers were doing community service in the area around 6:15 a.m. when the blast took place. He said rebels in the area are suspected to be behind the attack. De Leon denounced what he says is the continuous use of anti-personnel mines planted by communist rebels. The wounded soldiers were evacuated from the area by helicopters and are now at the Eastern Visayas Regional Medical Center in Tacloban City. Air assets and additional personnel have been deployed in the area to pursue the rebels. Carmina?
Right. Do we know, Bianca, how many are now being pursued?
As of now, we don't have the number yet of the communist rebels, Carmina. Right now, what we have is the number of wounded soldiers. That's at 7, with 2 of them in critical condition.
And how has this affected the community there, Bianca?
Based on the initial information from Major General De Leon, it's a good thing that there were no civilians in the area when the blast took place at around 6:15 a.m., Carmina.
And because of what happened, Bianca, are they also scouring the area for other possible landmines?
That's right, Carmina, because at around 6:15 a.m. when the blast took place, the soldiers were actually doing clearing operations and of community service clearing operations because of information that there were indeed anti-personnel mines planted in the area.
Mm-hmm. All right. So this story continues to develop. We're going to try and get back to you, Bianca, for more on this story in our succeeding newscast. In the meantime, thanks for joining us this afternoon. Really appreciate it. Back here in the newsroom, ABS-CBN and the Ayala Corporation set a goal to plant 160,000 trees at the La Mesa watershed with the help of e-wallet service GCash. Zian Ambrosio has that story.
Top officials of ABS-CBN and the Ayala Corporation were special guests at the La Mesa Eco Park in Quezon City Monday. They were taught how to plant lago or the broadleaf tree. Among them are ABS-CBN Corporation Chairman Mark Lopez, ABS-CBN Foundation Managing Director Berta Lopez Feliciano, ABS-CBN Foundation Director for Advocacy Ernie Lopez, Jaime Augusto Zobel de Ayala of Ayala Corporation, and GCash officials.
Po natin na ma-break yung lupa o madurog po yung lupa dahil bababa po yung survival rate niya.
They have a common goal of planting 160,000 trees in 200 hectares at the La Mesa watershed until 2023 and 2.3 million trees in the whole country.
Sana you join us all in this support and push for a greener world. And it doesn't take much. Just use the app, and through that usage of the app, other organizations can benefit from it.
With all your support today, we look forward to reaching our goal of 2.3 million trees by 2023. Sa ating bayanihan para sa kalikasan, malayo ang mararating natin para sa ating bansa.
Since 1999, 1,500 hectares of the watershed have gone through reforestation through the efforts of the foundation and its donors. The public is encouraged to donate and participate in planting more trees through the G-Forest, one of the newest features in the GCash app. This is a sustainability feature which encourages reforestation in the whole country.
Through G-Forest, mayroon nagdo-donate ng rewards points at kami ang nagkaka-benefit, yung mga foundation at iba-iba pang organization.
The ABS-CBN Foundation believes that through the joint efforts of private organizations and different sectors of society, the country can achieve environmental conservation. Zian Ambrosio, ABS-CBN News.
And here's a story for those who have sweet tooth out there. A bake shop in Canada is gaining attention for its cookies infused with flavors from the Philippines. Christine Santos tells us more.
Eat cookie, be happy. This is the Knight Baker slogan that has a vision for making everyone happy with whatever they bake. Husband and wife team Mitchell and Leanne Cabrera believe that great memories are attached to cookies. Inspired by their own childhood memories of Philippine flavors, the couple uses their chemistry background to come up with out-of-the-ordinary cookies that cannot be found anywhere else.
Cookies for us is very personal. Like I think a lot of people have this connection to cookies. For example, a lot of people bake with their moms or their lola. We started creating our recipes early in 2017, and it took us about 9 months. Every day we would make a new cookie and go through that process of using our chemistry backgrounds in order to do very precise methodology. So we tinkered with a lot of the sugar content, the flours, the different temperatures into baking, and then finally we were able to come up with the recipes.
What started as a side business has grown into two storefront bakeries in just 3 years, with pop-up shops and marketplaces and shipments across Canada and the USA. With its best sellers like ube and seasonal flavors like Sun's Rival, it has become the talk of the town year-round.
We're from out of town. We came to visit our daughters who are here for university. I mean, she's from Vienna. I'm from Ottawa. And we come to Toronto, and it's great with the fusion. It's just very international.
We really wanted to try the Turin flavor, which we haven't had before. So.
And then always the ube.
All the ube is the best one. It's not overwhelmingly sweet. And got like a really creamy cheesecake filling.
Almost everything of the flavors I got. My daughter was. That's why she texted me to buy this. She likes it. I think this should have tasted it before.
As people enjoy their flavorful cookies, the Cabreras also want the world to discover the richness of Filipino cuisine.
People have always been saying that Filipino food is the next big thing. It's the next big thing, and we're always waiting and waiting when it's going to happen. So Our hope is we're helping making that come to a reality where people get to enjoy more of Filipino food, get to enjoy more of Filipino culture, and they just discover how wonderful Filipino cuisine is and just share in the warmth of Filipino culture.
With creativity and experimentation at the heart of its cookie creation, the Night Baker hopes to steadily grow their followers and expand their reach in North America. Christine Santos, ABS-CBN News, Toronto.
In sports, the Philippine Women's National Football Team opened their campaign in the 2022 AFF Women's Championship in stunning fashion. The Filipinas defeated regional powerhouse Australia for the first time, 1-0. Serena Boldum put the team ahead at the hour mark, converting a header off a long throw-in by Eva Madarang. The Filipinas will seek a second straight win when they face Singapore come Wednesday. A first for ABS-CBN's talent arm Star Magic, it is set to release its debut film titled Connected on July 22nd. The feel-good movie on youth romance is part of Star Magic's 30th anniversary celebration. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on ANC.